Welcome to Entrepreneur's Playbook. I'm here at Rally in Indianapolis and ran into one of my favorites out there, Jonathan Isaac. Welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am on a mission of empowering over a billion people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Because I have never met anyone. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world, Lee Steinberg in Sports and Entertainment. Warren Moon and I started a global sports marketing company. And I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money, helps a lot of people with it, and has a lot of fun that isn't happy.
Gotcha.
And so I'm looking for young leaders like yourself who obviously get it. And so I wanted to start in that perspective. Life doesn't go your way all the time.
Right. Absolutely.
And just because you have a lot of money, you're looking at someone who lost over $100 million, went bankrupt, and had to make it back.
Really? I'm learning a lot about you.
Wow. So I have, you know, a lot of people that think that just because you have a lot of money,
right,
everything's good. Sometimes I think it adds challenge, doesn't
Absolutely.
Subtract them. So for you, how have you evolved being so young, obviously having a great contract, but your relationship money coming from nothing had to have changed.
Yeah, no, that's great. When I was growing up, I would hear that kind of same thing where it was more money, more problems, and money doesn't make you happy. And when you're coming from a place of not having it, it's so easy to be like, oh, that, okay. If it doesn't make you happy, then give it to me.
Right,
you
know, exactly.
That's what a lot of people
good
say.
For you. I always say, money doesn't make you happy, but it allows you to shop.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. It definitely lets you do that until you get pretty much everything that you want.
When you start buying shit you don't need to impress people you don't like, you're screwed.
And then there's no space to buy anything else, and you still have that bug, that fix to buy it. So I had a rude awakening once I got it, right? So I am a college student at Florida State. Me and my mom are sharing a checking account, Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm the sixth pick in the draft. And my agent is telling me I'm going to have, you know, lots of money coming to me very soon. Next thing you know, I got money in my bank account. I'm signing my NBA contract. And then life hits me. I still have the same mindset of somebody who doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
And so when it hits my account, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go buy this and buy this and buy this and get my mom straight. And then you got, the people kind of coming out of the woodwork. And it was just such a transition. And I quickly found out that, oh, this is a little bit more of a headache in terms of not just having a lot of money, but managing a lot of money, having different people doing different things for you and checking in. It just became a lot. And to where I got, okay, I need to grow up a little bit in terms of my mentality around money and how I see money. And ultimately, but to your question about hard times, my career has been a bit up and down.
Yeah.
And so I got to the NBA, I signed a contract, everything is great. My third year in the league, I get a brutal injury. I tear my ACL. And after my ACL, I tear my hamstring. I just have a lot of things going on. And now the idea of having a really long career is a little bit spotty because of the injuries. And so I thank God that I'm still playing today and I was able to sign another contract. But it was a tough time for me because I had money, but I was laid up in bed all day.
Yeah.
And the mental mental part of it, I struggled with and just figuring out what it is that I want to do if basketball was to end. But I would say my faith for me has been the thing that has kind of carried me. And even with starting the brand, it's a Christian brand. We were the first people to put Bible verses on sneakers.
I love it.
And but I'd say through the hard times, faith has been the thing that sustained me and has given me purpose for what I want to do in my life.
Although we don't look necessarily like we've lived a similar journey, grew up poor, single mom. Yeah. I always was in the mindset of I'll be happy when.
Right, absolutely.
Made my first million 9 months out of law school. My first exit was in 1995 for $3.4 billion with Thomson Reuters. And my life changed the same way. And my mom, faith-based, but when I lost everything, my mom changed my life because I had lost her house. Mm-hmm. I didn't take my name off of. And over $100 million, so because you play for it, you know that kind of money.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, why was God punishing me? And I actually said, Mom, I don't think I believe in God. Mm-hmm. And she smirked at me. I lost her house, lost everything. And she says, sweetheart, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realized my faith was not in money,
yeah,
that money was simply a vehicle for me. And, I have my own faith-based brand. The reason I wanted to interview you was because of Unite Us. Awesome. My mission in life is to unite us. And it's faith that I believe that will unite us, because that's what everyone is the same.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it's so easy for us to tell people about having faith, and they see that. And I find that the struggles have to, you know, it's easy to look at where I am today with four kids and more money than I've ever had. Oh, of course you have faith, because God has blessed you.
Right. Yeah.
But I love to talk about the blessing when God has challenged me.
Difficult times.
And the mindset that it takes. I always say, my faith is revealed when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I think I want to be. People laugh at me, scoff at me, make fun of me. Why is it eventually through my faith they will applaud me? And because I'm a co-creator, I'm commanded by God, not demanded. He works with me. He doesn't demand that I do these things. He's working with me. For you, what type of lessons within faith? Because your brand's based off of faith, and I love it.
Yeah.
But when people are wearing that, what do you want them to think? What mantras, messages?
Yeah. So our big, I hate calling it a slogan, but our big mantra is redefine greatness. And so for me, to your point again, growing up, I had this idea of what greatness was. Greatness was the guy that had all the money, had all the women.
Who was the greatest basketball player when you were young, or who you look up to?
I looked up to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But you know, you had LeBron.
You play long like Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. But I had this image in my mind of that's greatness. That's where I want to get to, until I got there or came really close.
Yeah.
And was able to experience what I thought that was. And I'm going, this really isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And then in having difficult times and my faith being the thing that has kept me looking into it and going, this is what greatness is. Greatness is not who has the most money. There's actually a Bible verse that says, let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But if anybody's going to boast, let him boast that he knows me, that he knows the Lord. And so that is where true greatness lies. And so this idea of putting faith forward, repping scripture, and letting that define me as great. I don't have to have anything external. I don't have to have another dollar. I could lose it all. I'm still great in God's eyes because I'm connected to him.
That's so beautiful. Practicing faith. You're a professional athlete. I played college football. I'm below average college football player, but I'm very consistent and I practice really hard.
Yeah.
And that practicing every day really hard became a part of my faith because I started practicing faith.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people having the reminders, like wearing your apparel.
Absolutely.
These are practices. And I read scripture every day.
Awesome.
It's my non-negotiables,
yes,
you know, with my sleep and my health and my family is my faith, my finance, study of time and relativity as well. But in the context of practicing faith, we have to walk like Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of people think that if they just go to church on Sunday, that the other 6 days don't matter.
Yeah. And that's why I believe that touch points are so key. Right. And so having in the game, what I would do is because we have the sneakers that have the Bible verse on them, when I'm on the bench or when I'm on the free throw line, I would catch myself reciting the verse that I was wearing. And so just little stuff like that, we don't think that it makes a big difference, but having scripture in front of your face all the time, it keeps you, one, it keeps you honest. you got to confront that with what you're seeing. One of the scriptures that we have on our fortress sneaker is 1 Samuel 2:30, which says, he that honors God, God will honor. And that's a reminder to me that in everything that I'm doing, to try my best to steer towards honoring God. And if I do that, God's going to honor me. So having these touch points on a daily basis in your everyday lives, strengthen your faith, encourage you to stay on the right path. And the less you see it, the more likely you are to drift.
One of the scriptures for me, which gets misunderstood, and I think the interpretation, why the clarity of the apparel brand that you have to help people understand, like that scripture, a lot of people believe, and I believe it to be true, the more you give, the more you will receive. But the scripture actually says the more you give, the more you will be given. And that takes an accountability, a co-commandment with God. I'm going to work with
together.
God to see what I'm... So you're lying there in bed. Your expectations have been set. You have, you know, made it to the top of the mountain and it was all taken away from you with uncertainty. I'm sure you sat there in faith that everything will be in its divine direction. This is a divine detour. You already told me your expectation. If it was all taken away,
Yeah.
you would have been fine because of your faith. What were some of the things from the scripture you were telling yourself when there was no evidence that you would ever play again?
Yeah.
Or maybe even the evidence was, got a couple of medical reports, the evidence was contrary that you'd
Yeah.
ever play
Yeah.
again.
Well, I wish I was always that strong. I went through a season of depression, of being out of it,
So you had to learn.
much like you saying, God, are you really real? I have this set. I know
Why am
where
I
I'm going.
punished?
And if it wasn't for the people that I had around me, my wife, my pastor, my church family, those people were set on encouraging me out of it. And I was able to get my footing and say, God, you know what? I recognize that there are things that I'm doing wrong, and I'm not going to sit here and blame you. And you ultimately have a plan for my life. And now that I'm walking and I'm saying, okay, all that was for a purpose. The injury is actually what part led to Unitas in the first place. It's what led to the book. So all these different things that I'm doing now, I see that the injury had a significant role to play in it.
And I'm sure it also will lead to the long career that you desired
Yes, sir.
so that you have a platform to help inspire others as well. As I mentioned, I was a business partner with Warren Moon, and I was on the other stage and someone asked me about Warren, and I realized that a lot of people don't realize the faith that he had. He's still the only black quarterback in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And most
Oh,
people
wow.
don't
See, I don't
realize
even know that.
played 6 years in Canada because the NFL didn't want a black quarterback. And he won, before, like you, top recruit. He won the Rose Bowl, 16 and a half point underdog. He won the Rose Bowl, MVP of the Rose Bowl. And they would only draft him as a wide receiver, but he had faith that he was the quarterback. In fact, he had faith that he was the best quarterback. And imagine 6 years in Canada, making no money, getting
Yeah.
no notoriety, knowing in his heart, with his faith in God, that he was being taught something.
Wow, that's a beautiful story.
And he
That's beautiful.
told me, similar to you, he said, "But I'm grateful."
Yeah.
He played till he was 44 years old. He's broke every record in the NFL for 17 years till Brett
Wow.
Favre in, the NFL. He had tw If you take all his numbers from Canada and NFL, he's the number one quarterback of all time. Most
Wow.
wins, most ro touchdowns, everything. But he said to me, "I'm so blessed that they didn't let me play." I said,
Yeah.
"Why is that?" He said, "Because if I was drafted number one and I made that money at that age, Dave, I wouldn't have done the 10,000 passes a day. I wouldn't have learned how to shave
Wow.
my fingernails so I got a perfect smile.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to prove my potential. And I just know that I wouldn't have made the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't be the first and only quarterback in the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't have been able to do all these things if God didn't teach
Yeah.
me to be my best through the challenges, not the successes."
Yeah. God knows what he's doing. Yeah.
And so, let's talk about the business side. I had a person on an interview today, and he said he was more, oh, a SEAL.
Oh, nice.
Right? He said,
Yeah.
"Oh, I'd much rather people shoot at me than what I face in
Yeah.
business. It's so scary."
You know what? I might agree with him. You know, it's been a it's been like anything else. Like you're picking up something new, and so basketball is it comes easy to me. It's natural. I've been doing it forever, and we got into this place of, hey, we have something here, and now it's like, okay, let's go and build a business. One, I don't know anything about business, and so one, building a team of the right people around me, but I've had to put the training wheels on and learn what it means to market and to have a CEO and all these different people. And I'm like, what does all this even mean? And so it has definitely been a whirlwind of information and growing. But in the same way, I'm grateful that I'm able to learn this, and I know that it's gonna, be fruitful and in the long run.
We'll have many introductions, both to capital and to
Right, exactly. Yep.
relationships for you. One of the things I find, I work with a lot of athletes, not being an agent anymore, but in that expansion from taking the skills, the knowledge, and desire of their sport into business.
Yeah.
And one of the funny things with a lot of the athletes that I begin to work with, they're resistant to mentorship and coaching. And I also have to say, man, when was do you have your
Right,
first coach in
exactly. Yeah,
basketball? They're
yeah,
like
yeah.
five.
Yeah.
And have you ever gone without a coach? No. And I go, "So you're starting a new sport. It's called business.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's a lot more variables, and there's people actually that can lie to you, cheat you, and
Exactly.
manipulate.
You
You
know
don't
what
have
they're
complete
doing.
control of this thing like you do on the court.
Yeah.
If you're a golfer, you got complete control of your destiny.
Yeah.
You're a basketball player, you could." But I said, "How is it that you don't see the value of asking people for help? You don't seem to have that problem. Did you immediately, when you saw, man, I don't know anything about this, did you seek the right
Yes.
advice?
So it what was interesting, it was like a guy, I felt like God just really brought the right people. Like
Oh.
the once we got in the idea, okay, this is what we wanted to do. Actually our CMO right now was actually working on Mamba brand for
Yeah,
Nike.
I know who
And
that is
he was going through something and his dad died and he's like, look, I want to do something meaningful with my life and I don't want to keep doing this here. And next thing you know, we got connected and now he's working for us and we're building this team. And so it's like I there's so much that I don't know and I've been great about getting that feedback from other people and mentorship. But I definitely understand what you're saying though, because being in a position of being an NBA player or being a high level athlete, so much in your world revolves around you. And you don't have to really go to somebody else to say, hey, what should I do in this situation? And so I can see how in business there's some apprehension to seeking out mentorship or getting information from somebody else because you don't know if it's genuine, you don't know all these different things. So for sure.
So amazing. And I love the mindset and the heart set, along with the incredible work ethic and handset that you have. Quick question, what's the ranges of sizes of your shoes?
Right now we go from 4 to 16.
Perfect. See, you could fit
I
me.
got you.
I
I'm
fit
gonna
in
get you some shoes
there.
1,000%.
I will wear them and I will
Thank you,
promote
boss.
them. And we have a lot of places to help you as well. And
Okay.
I certainly, Jonathan Isaac, appreciate your time, your wisdom, and your faith. I do want to tell you one of my favorite lines is it's wisdom and faith that shorten the distance of resistance that we create for ourselves from the Almighty, somebody bigger than us that loves us more than our mom. And you're a testament and illustration to true success, fulfillment, passion, and purpose. Remember, everybody, one of the greatest lessons, if you're mission driven like Jonathan Isaac, the commissions will follow. I
Wow.
promise. Congratulations,
Thank
my
you, man.
friend.
That was awesome.
Thanks for
Appreciate
joining
you.
me. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.